The Democrat open borders plan to entrench single-party rule, explained in under 2 minutes. 1. Flood the country with untold millions of illegals by land, sea, and air from all over the world. Enough to eclipse the populations of 36 individual U.S. states, so far. 2. Prioritize the needs of these millions of non-citizens over the needs of the American citizen, with free flights, buses, hotels, meals, and phones, ensuring their loyalty to the political party that imported them. 3. Keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crime like murder and rape. Attack the language used to describe the criminals, as opposed to the criminals themselves. Slander critics as racist. 4. Ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as population magnets. Codify permanent status and ensure non-cooperation with ICE. 5. Count the non-citizens in the census that will determine congressional apportionment in the House of Representatives. As of now, that would equal 13 extra congressional districts, a tremendous amount of electoral power. 6. Wage a massive, heavily funded lawfare campaign to change state voting laws that legalize mass mail-in ballots, no signature verification, and no proof of citizenship requirements, making it nearly impossible to prove voter fraud. 7. Lock in the permanent voting majority with campaign promises of lavish benefits and permanent privileges, enshrining generational fealty to the Democrat Party. 8. Win elections. 9. Entrenched single-party rule has been achieved. The best part? Your tax dollars are paying for it.
What is up, LFA TV? We are coming at you live from America. This is Matter of Fact, and I am your host, Ryan Madden. And as a matter of fact, big shout out to Western Lensman, our man over there with the intros, always doing amazing work, always making that amazing content that helps us bring you the news that the mainstream media never wants you to hear. And we have a great show for you planned today. And look at this, folks. We are already getting super chats coming in hot. Let's see who we got over here. Let's jump over to the live chat and say what up to the crew really quick. Good to see everybody over here. We got a super chat right off the bat. Ellie May says, let's get the train started to help support the brave work Ryan is doing for all of us. God bless you, Ellie May. Thank you all so much. Folks, we are launching. We've officially launched the document. We've officially launched our website. It should be up and running for This Is Treason. So the website is thisistreason.com. I haven't got to beta test it yet. Well, I kind of have. But if anybody is interested in pre-ordering the VIP package, which is $14.99, you're going to get instant access to all of these edited interviews that we've produced so far. There's 3 on the site. There's 2 more coming from our trip to San Diego. And I think we have a total of 7 that will be up there from our trip to Chicago. So if you guys want to support our work and get early access to the long form interviews, so you guys can kind of help support us as we travel across the country, it is thisistreason.com. And if anybody does do it, if you guys could tell me if it was difficult, I know I don't want to say anything, but I think there was something that was confusing about when you order and then having to log in. I don't want to say any too much. I just want, if anybody beta test it and you have any issues, can you DM me on Twitter and let me know if there's any issues. But we're going to get into it, guys. Check this out. We're going to do a whole show on treason in the new Americas, and we're going to get into that. But they just dropped the mother of all Twitter files. We're talking about the one that Ivan Raiklin has been talking about, calling it hashtag MOATF. This is the CIA Twitter files. You guys ready? I'm going to try to do it. You guys know I suck at reading, so bear with me. If my reading sucks too bad and we can't get through this, we're just going to share it and we'll move on. But Ivan Raiklin tweeted out this. Let's get you guys gassed up. Smash that like button for us. He says, here we go. Let the MOATF, the hashtag mother of all Twitter files, games begin. Here's a little gas up to get you guys ready.
Fuck what you heard. It's what you hearing. It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. X gon' give it to you. Fuck wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you. Knock, knock. Open up the door. It's real. With the nonstop pop out from stainless steel.
All right. You guys ready for it? Let's start off with thread 1. This is a Twitter thread by none other than the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Schellenberger. So Twitter file number 1, he says, let me zoom in on this and get us a little set up for optimal performance. It says, the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, is the most famous of the 18 U.S. government agencies that comprise the intelligence community, IC, of the United States of America. Unlike the Federal Bureau of Investigations, FBI, the law strictly prohibits CIA employees from contractors or contractors from spying upon or running clandestine operations against American citizens on USA soil. But now, a new Twitter file investigation reveals that a member of the board of trustees of the CIA's mission-driven venture capital firm and, ostensibly, former IC and CIA analysis were involved in a 2021 to 2022 efforts to take over Twitter's content management system. Woo! The efforts also involved a longtime IC contractor and senior Department of Defense R&D officials who spent years developing technologies to defeat whistleblowers, aka their insider threats like Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks leakers. The proposed head of DHS aborted disinformation governance board, Nina Jankowicz, who you see on the screen here, who aided U.S. military and NATO hybrid war operations in Europe. Now, Jim Baker, who as FBI general counsel helped start the Russiagate hoax, and as Twitter's deputy general counsel, urged Twitter executives to censor the New York Post story about Hunter Biden. It's not looking good for the CIA, folks. It's always the CIA, as we say over here on LFA TV, or matter of fact, anyways. The existing of former IC employees, contractors, and intermediaries weren't satisfied with simply controlling Twitter. They also wanted to use PayPal, Amazon Web Services, and GoDaddy in a totalitarian efforts to deplatform, demonetize, and de-excommunicate from the internet entirely those individuals that the ICETAL deems to be a threat. There is much that we still don't know about the effort. What we do know is officials within the CIA and or any other IC organization ran the operation. It is possible that only individuals involved in the effort were the ones we discovered, and none of these individuals involved responded to our request for information except for one. But thousands of pages of Twitter files and documents contained therein paint a clear picture of organized operations by existing or former IC employees and contractors using well-established IC tradecraft to take control of Twitter's content moderation. Our investigation comes at the moment when the government and intelligence agencies around the world are stepping up their efforts to monitor and censor American citizens, and thus has large implications for policymakers and the public in Western nations that look to the U.S. as a model for free speech and citizens' control of the military. This is a joint publication. Let me jump over here so you guys can actually see what I'm reading on this one. I think I jumped ahead on the Nina Jankowicz, but we'll stay in there. So the joint public racket investigation, the authors are Schellenberger, Matt Taibbi, and something Brain, G-A-L-E-X-Y, Galaxy Brain. Oh, as always, the only conditions were agreed upon in publishing this that we first published on X. And at the end of our thread, we explain why or and how this investigation began. So here we go, folks. And this is thread one. So Nina Jankowicz and the Athena Group, before the IC's attempts to infiltrate Twitter and control its content moderation, several of the operatives involved made the case for threatening disinformation as a security threat that requires intelligence and a military tactic to combat. Now, on June 11th of 2020, a little-known book publisher, I.B. Taurus, published Nina Jankowicz's How to Lose the Information War, Russia, Fake News, and the Future of Conflict, which argues for info war, like the kind the U.S. government waged in Ukraine and Eastern Europe. In her book, Nina Jankowicz compares the lack of regulations of speech on social media regulations to the lack of government regulations of automobiles in the 1960s. She calls for a cross-platform and public-private approach. So whatever actions are taken by Google, Facebook, and Twitter simultaneously. Jankowicz points to Europe as a model for regulating speech. Germany's NETZDG law requires social media companies and other content hosts to remove obviously illegal speech within 24 hours, she says, or face a fine up to $50 million. By contrast, in the U.S., she laments, Congress has yet to pass a bill imposing even the most basic of regulations related to social media and election advertising. The purpose of her book is to sound the alarms and offer a vision. Of course it is. CIA right here again. It's always the CIA. The Biden-Harris administration can help or can and should take up many of the solutions outlined in this book, she writes. probably hire her company to do it too at the same time. If the West is to win the information war, it needs a whole of society response, she said, like the US and NATO used in Eastern Europe. She praises a NATO cybersecurity expert for having created a center of excellence. A center of excellence, huh? Sounds like the blockchain center for excellence that JP Morgan created, doesn't it? How'd that turn out for Jamie Dimon? If the terms sound familiar to close observers of the censorship industrial complex, it might be because Rini Drista of the Stanford Internet Observatory, which we heard Mike Benz tell us all about, right, in 2021 promoted a center of excellence in a Department of Homeland Security video she recorded, in which she made the case for the Disinformation Governance Board Jankiewicz would later briefly head up. Surprise, surprise, huh? 1 year later, Jankiewicz would work with an anti-disinformation consulting firm to Twitter's staff by former IC analyst. Its name was the Athena Group. All right, now we're going on to part two. Check this one out, folks. Thread two, a CIA analyst guide to spotting fake news. On July 28th of 2020, a little-known teen and young adult book publisher released True or False, a CIA analytics guide to spotting fake news by Cindy Otis, a former CIA analyst. And ain't she the cutest one of the bunch? I had wanted to work for the CIA almost my whole life, she writes. Almost all governments, including the United States, have used fake news as a weapon to influence events in other countries. 1 year later, she would become a senior analyst for the Athena Group. We did not hear back from Cindy Otis. However, Jankiewicz told us over email that Otis led research at Athena through July of 2021. Now, Jankiewicz said, my full-time employment with Athena began September 13th of 2021. Ms. Otis left Athena prior to that period. To my knowledge, she has not been employed by Athena since that time. Now, my work at Athena Group as a consultant of summer of 2021 was narrowly focused on my subject matter expertise related to Russia. She said, I conducted Russian language translations and provided cultural analysis. When I joined Athena as an employee in fall of 2021, my work was entirely focused on public products, changes to Athena's website, editing public reports, liaisoning with media, etc. But that claim contradicts Athena's statement of work contracts with Twitter, which list her as a technical research director. For work relating to Twitter's management of misinformation during the 2020 election, and specifically a retrospective analysis of how then President Trump or key figures may have violated Twitter's SIC policies or otherwise leveraged the platform in a way that may have contributed to key events. Now, the Athens Group founder Lisa Kaplan told us that Jankiewicz was never given the title of technical research director. There is a reference to a labor category for contracts, added Kaplan, where we respect clients' confidentiality and we do not discuss relationships with our customers. In reviewing Nina's timesheets, she did provide support to one client that I cannot disclose. However, I can confirm that while she was employed as the director for internal affairs, Nina never conducted work at Athena on behalf of Twitter. Now, goes on to say, when shown the statement of work listing her as a supplier personnel, Jankiewicz said, I have never seen this document before. A statement of work is generally a speculative document that informs clients of potential staffing and work plans. They are usually crafted to allow contractors to a degree of flexibility in implementation by listing staff, even if they are not assigned to particular projects, in case they might do so in the future or do work for that project. I assume this is what happened in this case. In fact, the statement of work between Athena and Twitter was a formal contract between the two firms, signed by Athena's founder and CEO and Twitter senior director and assistant general counsel, And the contract specifies any changes to the above listed personnel must be approved by Twitter in writing. There is no record in the Twitter files of any changes to personnel. Jankowicz added, Mrs. Otis and I were friends and colleagues prior to my short stint there and remain friends and colleagues. Yes, I knew Miss Otis had worked dash emphasizes on the past tense at the CIA. Now, that does not constitute a relationship with the intelligence community. In the acknowledgement to true or false, Otis thanks someone named Peter Mudgett Zotto, who also blurbs her book, which he calls a guide to learning from the past with actionable solutions to help save our future. Now we're going to get into this next part, which is actually going to be a video, but I'll just read a little bit of the top and we'll get right into the video. So this is thread three. Disinformation will become the next iteration of warfare. The government should identify vulnerable populations. Now, on July 9th of 2020, Kaplan's record records a podcast on the next iteration of warfare. She says a lot of the way that this is approached, at least from a defensive perspective, is a lot of the same lessons that we learned from counterterrorism and social media, she explains. Where are the ISIS guys in chat rooms trying to recruit people to fly to Raqqa in Syria, right? Like, she's like we need them to police the internet to make sure that there's not Americans traveling to join ISIS. What the fuck? Huh? Let's hear what she had to say.
I started Aletheia Group in May of 2019. And the reason I started it was because of my experience as the digital director on a 2018 Senate campaign. And what was interesting was you have to remember, like, put it into context. I know we've been talking about these issues almost some days it feels like ad nauseum since the 2016 election. But in 2018, this was the first campaign since we really knew what was happening. And so in February of 2018, Robert Mueller's indictment of the Russians who interfered in the US election came out, and it was written in very plain language. It clearly was not, you know, I don't think anybody was holding their breath waiting for the Kremlin to extradite these guys, but it laid out the playbook of what happened in 2016. And so we read that and we said to ourselves, okay, how are we going to know if this is happening? And once we figure it out, what are we actually going to do about it? And so we developed a strategy to be able to do things like proactively go out and look for instances of disinformation and create a resilient digital strategy so that we were able to spot any nefarious behavior quicker. And so that we were able to really build a strategy that was more resilient to being co-opted. And then from there, you know, what we saw really, I think, just kept all of us up at night. We came to realize pretty quickly that disinformation and influence operations, it's not a political issue. It's a national security issue that's manifesting itself in politics. And so because of that experience, after the campaign, took some time and decided to go out and start Aletheia Group because I didn't want to sit on the sidelines when, you know, our team had something that we could offer in order to help fight this fight. I feel fortunate to be able to work with such talented folks who have a broad range of experiences as well. Everyone from former government employees to former campaign staff. So it's data scientists. And so it's coming together as a really interdisciplinary group that's trying to do our part to solve this big challenge. I think my past experiences were able to help me shape this challenge as a very tactical issue where it's more person versus person. So from my experience in consulting with government to working on the Hill, we were able to really take a look at this as a national security issue, just from having worked on the policy side and the communication side of things. I think also being able to get tactical and be goal-oriented was really critical. You know, I've always been fortunate to work in organizations where we've been mission-driven and part of a team, and we're all working to accomplish a goal together. And so to having that perspective and having that background, was able to look at disinformation and influence operations as a potential threat to achieving our goals. And looking at it in that sense, so, you know, well, let's use the case of elections, for example, and looking at it at that sense, if you're on a campaign, if you are, then your goal is to win on election day. It's to beat the other candidates. And so in order to influence, if you're a bad guy, in order to influence that outcome, you're really targeting two decision points. So the first is whether or not somebody's going to show up to vote. Are they going to actually cast their ballot? So that's one decision point that you could potentially target. And it's a decision point that campaigns, frankly, are trying to target too, but they're trying to get people to show up to vote, to exercise that right. And so...
All right, so over here in the live chat, Sherry Barr says, I can't listen to this. Beep out, right? I couldn't agree more. You guys get the idea, right? This is what they were telling everybody, trying to convince them that the 2020 election was the most safest and secure election, right? Do you hear how she phrased that? Well, we can't let free speech get in the way of our mission, which is to compromise and take over the country and overthrow a sitting president and commit treason, right? But I got a little sneak peek for you guys. You guys know I'm working on this little mini docuseries for Mike Benz. Sneak peek. Here's part 5.
What's happened with the rise of the censorship industry is a total inversion of the idea of democracy itself. Democracy sort of draws its legitimacy from the idea that it is ruled by consent of the people being ruled. It's not really being ruled by an overlord, because the government is actually just our will expressed by our consent with who we vote for. The whole push after the 2016 election and after Brexit was to completely invert everything that we described as being the underpinnings of a democracy society in order to deal with the threat of free speech on the internet. And what they essentially said is, we need to redefine democracy from being about the will of the voters to being about the sanctity of democratic institutions. And who are the anti-democratic institutions? Oh, it's us. It's the military. It's NATO. It's the IMF and the World Bank. It's the mainstream media. It is the NGOs. Of course, these NGOs are largely State Department funded or IC funded. It's essentially all of the elite establishments that were under threat from the rise of domestic populism that declared their own consensus to be the new definition of democracy. For example, we mentioned the Atlantic Council, which is one of these big coordinating mechanisms for the oil and gas industry in a region, for the finance and the JP Morgans and the Black Rocks in a region, for the NGOs in the region, for the media in the region. All of these need to reach a consensus, and that process takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of work and a lot of negotiation. From their perspective, that's democracy. Democracy is getting the NGOs to agree with BlackRock, to agree with the Wall Street Journal. That is the difficult vote-building process from their perspective. At the end of the day, a bunch of populist groups decide that they like a truck driver who's popular on TikTok more than the carefully constructed consensus of the NATO military brass. Well, then, from their perspective, you know, that is now an attack on democracy. And this is what this whole branding effort was. And of course, democracy, again, has that magic regime change predicate for it to be able to overthrow governments from the ground up in a sort of color revolution style whole of society effort to topple a democratically elected government from the inside. For example, as we did in Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych was democratically elected by the Ukrainian people, like him or hate him. But the fact is we color revolutioned him out of office. We January 6th him out of office. Yes. Actually, you had State Department funded right sector thugs and $5 billion worth of civil society money pumped into this to overthrow a democratically elected government in the name of democracy. And they took that special set of skills home, and now it's here, perhaps potentially to stay. And this has fundamentally changed the nature of American governance because of the threat of one small voice becoming popular on social media.
We became that one small voice, folks. We were doing 30 million views. To help people wrap their head around that, I think LFA throughout the whole year right now maybe is at 5 to 10 million, if I had to get best guess. I was doing 30 million on my single, on 3 YouTube channels. 30 million, just me by myself, a dude in a computer, doing like 10, 20x the entire CNN network. So when Mike Benn talks about, that's exactly what he's talking about. People like myself that are speaking truth and everybody wants to hear the truth. Well, that's it. Billy C in the house, my man, says, thanks. Grab a beer on me. Thank you for all you do. No, Billy, thank you guys for all you do. Greatly, greatly appreciated, my friend. I honestly can't thank you enough. God bless you. Thank you so much. Don says, great job, Ryan. Let's get back into these Twitter files, y'all. What do you guys say? Let's keep it rolling. I'm very interested. This is supposed to be the mother of all Twitter files, right? So we'll see. How many more House Oversight Committee hearings are we going to have to hear? So check this out. I am being asked. So this is, I am being asked by Schumer's NSA if we have been in touch with Obama. At 5:22 p.m. on July 15th of 2020, the Twitter account for then presidential candidate Joe Biden tweeted, I'm giving back to the community. All Bitcoin sent to this address below will be sent back doubled. If you send 1,000, I will send back 2,000. Similar fake spam tweets have been sent from accounts belonging to Barack Obama, Michael Bloomberg, and Elon Musk, wrote a senior attorney for Twitter. I am being asked by Schumer's NSA National Security Advisor if we have been in touch with Obama. Matt Masterson from DHS called me on his personal cell. Didn't know he had my number. He had been in touch with Biden's campaign. He offered to help in whatever way they can, offered a forensic analysis. And then that's what it basically said. Here, he would be in touch with the Biden campaign. He has their TPs. If there is anything we want them to message, we should let them know. They are not talking to the press, but they have offered to respond on background if we want, and emphasize any points. And then you can see a bunch of stuff that's redacted. And it goes on to say, 2 weeks later, the police arrested Graham Ivan Clark, 17, for masterminding the hack. Clark had used a simple phishing con to trick Twitter employees into giving him information. Pretty smart, huh? Or not? Let's go to the next thread. So this one goes in here and it says, 1 second, I actually opened up a photo. This one says, well, give me 1 second. I got to get back to that thread because somehow I got lost in the sauce here. There it is. Okay. Wow, that's really weird the way that opens up. It like opens up into multiple threads. Okay, here it is. Okay, one of the world's biggest regarded hackers, on October 13th of 2020, a Twitter executive emailed then CEO Jack Dorsey to say mudged signs, and it's blanked out here. You can see it on the bottom right of the screen. Blank said, and this is to Jack Dorsey, right? So blank said, she let you know mudged signed. I assume you have his contact, but if not, his number is blank, 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 blank. If you want to text him or email him, his email is blank, 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 blank. We started working on the comms. Now, Dorsey hiring of Zotaco was big news, wrote Reuters. Social media giant Twitter Inc., under increased threat of regulation and plagued by serious security breaches, is appointing one of the world's best regarded hackers to tackle everything from engineering mishaps to missteps. Now, Peter Mugzato, and that's his photo on the screen here, Mudged Zato, Z-A-T-K-O, Zotaco. The company on Monday named Peter Zotaco, widely known by his hacker handle, Mudged, wrote Reuters. The new position of head of security, giving him a broad mandate to recommend changes in structure and practices. Now, Zotaco had engaged with members of U.S. intelligence agencies. Attitudes towards Zotaco would be quite different 2 years later. Zotaco, turned whistleblower, sued the company and settled for $7.75 million. He then filed a complaint with the Justice Department, SEC, FTC, alleging Twitter executives had misled the government, been negligent in protecting user data, and had violated a 2011 consent decree with the FTC. Now, somebody leaked Zotaco's complaint to the Washington Post, which reached out to Twitter for comment on August 19th of 2022. In a shared Google Doc dated August 21st of 2022 called Comms Statement Tackling, Twitter executives fine-tuned the language for responding to news and media about Zotaco's allegations. Buried deep within the discussion was this revelatory sentence: without the knowledge or support of management of the board, Twitter learned that Zotaco had engaged with members of U.S. intelligence agencies and sought to enter a formal agreement that would allow him to work with them and provide information to them. And that's what you're seeing right here on the screen right here. Very, very interesting. Now, the next tweet we're going to go on to is a flashback to U.S. intelligence agencies. So, states, flashback to U.S. intelligence community efforts to prevent Twitter. On December 20th of 2019, Elvis Chan, the FBI's liaison to social media companies, emailed a Twitter executive, my colleague at The Fort, had a query for you. The Fort is IC slang for Fort Meade, Maryland, where the National Security Agency, the NSA, and the IC agency focused on spying through signal intelligence is located. Now, Chan's NSA colleagues wanted to know if Twitter would please change a security policy so that the NSA could better use Twitter data. And that is right up here on the screen right here. This is bizarre. Wow. The request immediately raised red flags from Twitter's head of site integrity, Yoel Roth. My sense is that a call directly with the IC on this isn't a great idea, said Roth. We're threading a needle on this one. We both want to keep law enforcement and IC engaged on election integrity issues while maintaining our strong anti-surveillance stance on the data front. You can see more of their communications. Sorry, the delay, blah, 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 blah. The request bothered others at Twitter. We have seen a sustained, if uncoordinated, effort by the IC to push us to share more information and change our API policies, said Carlos Monin, Twitter's director of policy, in response to Roth. But the IC's sustained efforts may have been more coordinated than it originally appeared. If we get onto this next tweet down here. I'd recommend Athens Group on January 7th of 2021, the day after Capitol Hill riots, Zatako made his first big recommendation to Twitter executives, hire the Athena Group. I feel an external investigation may be quite valuable, said Zatako, over the company's Slack messaging system. I'd recommend Athena Group for this disinformation angle. Interesting. This is getting really interesting. Twitter authorized Zatato to do so. A few weeks later, Zatato pitched Twitter's legal team on hiring Athena for a J6-focused project. What? A January 6th-focused project? This is wild. As folks can understand, Zatato wrote on February 24th of 2021, there's a lot going on around January 6th and the 2020 election in general. Athena is a boutique consultancy that specializes on disinformation and counter-messaging operations. They have been working with myself and Yoel Roth. This is freaking nuts. Oh, this is what Jonathan was talking about. CIA, and then InQtel and Athena. This is what Jonathan from Jonathan DeFi over on X has been talking about this whole time. Let's throw this on the screen. So this is our next thread. Ted Shylin is partnered at Ballistic Ventures and Cleaner Perkins, the legendary Silicon Valley VC firm. In 2022, Shylin led a $10 million Series A investment in Athena Group for Ballistic and sits on the board of directors. Kaplan says he met Shylin that same year. Shylin is also a member of the board of trustees of InQtel, or IQT, which is the CIA's mission-driven venture capital firm. In 2022, IQT published a summary report describing its disinformation workshop. The report commended many activities similar to those Athena has offered, including track the confluence of bad narratives. Which, if you have seen how these work out, here's one right here, right? So they're able to basically, like, they're able to go back to a tweet that went viral and pinpoint the exact moment it started to go viral, and they can track every social media account that helped and contributed to that tweet going viral. And Mike Benz had talked about this a little bit, where they don't necessarily deplatform Ryan Matta, but if they can take out the somewhat bigger accounts right under Ryan Matta that help Ryan Matta's tweets always go viral. Well, if you can take out the rung leaders every time Ryan Matta tweets, if the bigger accounts that follow him that nobody really talks about, if we demonetize them or we deplatform them or we shadow ban them, well, it doesn't look like we're shadow banning Ryan Matta. So if we ever open an investigation to us and go, oh, you're shadow banning Ryan Matta. No, you're not. We shadow banned everybody else that follows Ryan Matta. Smart, smart, right? Let's keep this thread rolling. So it goes on to say a full one third of IQT investments were secret as of 2016, according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, the journal also reported that Shalen had at least one connection to the firm in which IQT invested. And that was over 7 years ago. I don't know Zatako Jankowicz or Otis. Lisa is the CEO of Athena, and I serve on the board of directors, Shalen told us. He added that he is not aware of any relationships between Athena and the IC, and that he has no operational role. When asked if IQT had funded Athena Group, Shalen said, "This is a question either the company or InQtels should answer, not me." Let me throw up another screenshot here while we're at this so you guys can see what I'm looking at here. It's quite interesting. These Twitter files are really getting somewhere. So I get the feeling that Athena is a byproduct of Ted Shalen, a high-tech entrepreneur told us, and the CEO is merely a tutler head without meaningful experience. It's not clear to me how Lisa Kaplan received $10 million in a Series A round. In March of 2022, the Department of Homeland Security made Shalen a member of its advisory council. The Department of Homeland Security made the man over here on the left a member of the Security Council. Wow. Okay, so now we're going to get into this tweet over here by Patrick Cullen. And it says, does this affect our approach to Trump? Another Athena analysis is Patrick Connell. Connell, from 2019 to 2022, Connell was Twitter's global lead of threat intelligence, where he ran Twitter's threat disruption group. According to his bio, Colin also guided the process of selecting investigations for public disclosure in Twitter's Moderation Research Consortium. Moderation Research Consortium. Before that, from 2013 to 2019, Colin worked for the Defense Department as an intelligence analyst and linguistic. According to Connell's LinkedIn profile, he speaks eight languages, including Russian, Ukraine, and Chinese. Wow, that's a lot. The Twitter files show Colin urging more censorship on multiple occasions within Twitter. After Joel Roth tells Connell that Jack just approved repeat offenders for civic integrity, Colin replied, "Progress. Does this affect our approach on Trump?" What? Who I think that we publicly said has one remaining strike? Or does this incitement to violence aspect change that calculus? And you can see their communications here. Progress, does this affect our approach to Trump? Dude, he did inherit a crime scene. Holy cow. Shortly after Colin celebrates efforts to identify January 6th protesters, Colin messages Roth to say, "One thing that's made me smile today is that people in DC are getting on Bumble and other dating services to chat with protesters, rioters, to gather information and send it to law enforcement." What a freaking traitor. Read more. Twitter files part four, the removal of Donald Trump, January 7th. That's an old one. So it would be almost, let's jump on this one. It would be almost impossible for us to refuse to turn them over to Congress. On March 11th, 3 weeks after Zotto urges his colleagues to hire Athena Group, he emailed his colleagues to express his concern about Twitter's leave development holding up the release of Athena Group's work product. Twitter Deputy Counsel Jim Baker explains that he wants Athena's analytical products to be owned by Twitter's law firm so that Congress cannot subpoena them in the future. "Our goal here," says Baker, "is to enable the company to retain control via the attorney-client privilege of any reports, slide decks, interviews, summaries, or other materials that Athena produces to use in the event that we receive congressional or other subpoenas or document requests, such as in connection with civil lawsuits against the company." Dude, this is so freaking bad. When are these people going to freaking prison? Like, it has to be happening soon, no? Am I the only one that thinks this is absolutely mind-blowing? So right now, stresses Baker, our outside counsel assesses that if we do nothing, the Athens material would not be privileged and it would be almost impossible to use to refuse to turn it over to Congress, the executive branch, or civil intellect. Baker's supervisors agreed. The document creates risk, he writes. What are the risks? Twitter's handling of the Hunter Biden laptop, the 2020 election, and the 2021 Capitol riots. Later events would prove that Baker, his boss, and the Jenner and the block attorneys were all right to be worried. Oh, wow. I got a video here. Let me rip this one for you guys really quick. Give me 2 seconds. Sorry, I didn't know. I didn't see the thread went on that long. I tried to put this whole thing together for you guys. I guess it was a lot longer than I originally thought. So while that's downloading, we can draw straight lines between the initial stop the steal narrative and organizing to what ended up happening on January 6th. Athena's assessment of Twitter reflects the views of its CEO, Kaplan, that online misinformation leads to violence. So on March 11th of 2021, the same day that Baker flags the risk of working with Athena's without its law firm, Kaplan speaks on a panel at Harvard University Breckman School. While there, she blames misinformation on social media for the January 6th riot and urges great censorship. So let's take a look now that we got that video ripped down and throw that one up here on the screen and take a look at what we're working with here. This is such great reporting. Schellenberger is the man.
I think that a lot of times people don't realize how many options they actually have. So for example, if you're able to detect what a lot of people are doing right now is they're analyzing something once it's already gotten onto Twitter, onto Facebook, onto YouTube, for example, and it's on one of these mainstream platforms and they call the social media platforms and they say, please take it down. Yeah. That's one option. But if you've gotten to that point in a lot of ways, it may already be too late. So what we do is we practice early detection. So we catch narratives when they start and we're able to then track them and understand how they may be influencing individuals and seeking to change individuals' behavior. We analyze on the network level. And what that does is it enables us to take more options. So for example, let's take these for-profit disinformation networks. Well, if they're making a profit off of a potential organization, there could be an opportunity to seek damages. If they're misappropriating intellectual property, such as your name, your likeness, trademarkable or patentable or copyrighted material, there are legal options that organizations can take to seek recourse. If there is an opportunity to do counter messaging, and I'm not talking about fact checking. In our experience, fact checking, while it's helpful in creating a paper of record or it's helpful in giving something to point to set the story straight, it's not sufficient. And here's why. The people who are choosing to believe a narrative aren't necessarily going to believe something, you know, salacious about you. It's change their mind and say they no longer believe something that's totally salacious about you and confirms their biases about you just because you're the one that said it isn't true. So we're talking about really counter narrative building. And that can be done in an ethical way by creating a greater understanding around an individual or an organization. So what we do is we help through the entire process. So we detect what's happening, we assess whether or not it's having an impact on an organization's goal, and then we help to mitigate any potential impacts. The idea being that we can solve a lot of problems before they become a real issue or a challenge for an organization. One of the things that we saw...
So what's really crazy about this, and I didn't even realize, holy crap, we've been going for 45 minutes already, guys. Thank you so much. Smash that like button. There's absolutely no way I'm going to get through this in time. Not even a close chance. But check this out. This is one key point here. So who is Zato really, right? Zato is a longstanding contractor and employee of the federal government. He gave training seminars to the NSA and NSSA in 1999 and perhaps earlier. Two books, Andy Greenberg's 2013, The Machine Kills Secrets, and Joseph Mexican 2019, Cut Dao, describe in detail how the IC and Defense Department have financed and directed Zatto's work for over a quarter century. Quarter century, guys. This is freaking bizarre. Mike Benz is so onto it. Here's this old one of Zatto in what looks like some 1990s, 1999, it looks like.
For the past 4 years, the seven of us has been touted as just about everything from the hacker conglomerate, a hacker think tank, the hangout place for the top U.S. hackers, network security experts, and a consumer watch group. In reality, all we really are is just curious. For well over the past decade, the seven of us have independently learned and worked in the fields of satellite communications, cryptography, operating system design and implementation, computer and network security, electronics and telecommunications.
I'm actively working on Loftcrack, a program that we've created to exploit the weaknesses in Windows NT's password security, which uses cryptography to secure the passwords, but we have found vulnerabilities in their implementation. This program has been extremely well received by military, government, and corporate security groups who use it to test their own passwords for weaknesses.
While some of the Loft members concentrate on software programming, I work with hardware design and implementation of electronic circuits. My interests include embedded system design, surveillance and counter-surveillance tools, and wireless data transmissions. My current research project involves experimentation with the monitoring and eavesdropping of stray electromagnetic fields from computer terminals, otherwise known as Tempest monitoring. Using low-cost electronic equipment, one can capture the contents of computer screens from more than 200 meters away, possibly gaining passwords and other sensitive information.
NASA's Jet Propulsion.
Think about that. That was the 1990s. And he just said that he was able to capture information from computer screens from 200 meters away. Imagine what they can do now, folks. I mean, the power that our government has got and the amount of control that they're going to be able to exert on the world and the amount of your freedom that they can take away. That's bizarre, folks. That's bizarre. But you know what I need to do? I need to let you in on our first sponsors of the day. Let's jump right over here and give a big shout out to AmmoSquared.com, folks. AmmoSquared.com helps you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. You grow your ammo slowly over time. It's stored for free while it builds up, and then it ships to wherever you want it, shipping out in just 1 to 2 business days. Ammo Squared was started in 2015 and has over 30,000 customers across the country. It's truly automated, set it and forget it ammo purchasing. All you have to do is pick your caliber, set your budget, and select a shipping tripper, and that's it. Ammo builds up over time, and it's delivered automatically when you want it. It's a very budget-friendly way to build up and stockpile ammo. It's customizable. Buy as little as a few dollars a month or use it to dollar cost average to your advantage. Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots in ammunition availability. It's almost like an ammo 401k savings account. You just set it up, have your ammo there for a rainy day, and then it gets stored on the shelves and it'll ship to wherever you are, whenever you want it, whenever you're ready. Folks, if you just swing over to AmmoSquared.com, you can scroll down through here. You guys can see all of the options that you have for different calibers. Again, it's like a 401k. You do 50, 100, 25, whatever it is a month that you want to do. And then once you hit a stockpile of $250, you can get it shipped for free. Now, you can also pay for shipping after $100 or whatever you want. If you want to do $10 a month and, you know, every 10 months you have it shipped $100 ammo worth to your house, you can do that as well if you pay for shipping. Or you can wait till you get $250 and it'll ship for free. Go over to AmmoSquared.com, sign up, set up an account, tell them that Ryan Mehta from LFATV sent you. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Up next, we have Done With Debt, folks. You know what they call these? They call those debt traps. And guess what? They're not your fault. You didn't cause inflation, you didn't set gas prices, and you sure as heck didn't jack up credit card rates. But the thing is about debt traps, they'll destroy your life if you don't get out of them very quickly. The only company I recommend is Done With Debt. Folks, Done With Debt are brilliant debt relief strategists. For the first thing they do is they're going to stand between you and your bill collectors. Then they're going to negotiate a plan to get you out of debt permanently. Here's the kicker, without bankruptcy and without taking out loans. But listen, some of these strategies are time sensitive, so you need to contact Done With Debt right now. Do it today. Do it now. This couldn't be easier. Just get a free consultation, share what you're dealing with, and they'll explain a strategy to erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Folks, there is no greater gift you can give yourself than getting out of debt. I have my house paid off, bought it cash, car paid off, no debt, no credit card. Well, I have one credit card that I use for travel, but just to get the points, but it's paid off every month. Once you get out of debt, it is such a relief. It is such a weight lifted off your shoulders. Like even when things are getting bad and tough out there right now, and I barely make any money, I've been able to get my bills so low that I don't suffer as much as the other people do. Like it still sucks living paycheck to paycheck, but at the very least, at least you're not into debt. And if something goes wrong, you don't have to worry about losing your job. And all of a sudden you lose your job for a week, you can't pay your bills, right? At the very least, I've got my bills down as low as humanly possible. So it's really a weight lifted off your shoulder. If you guys are in debt, try to do everything that you can to get yourself out of it. Once you do, it's a complete game changer. And then if you guys want to support us over here on LFA TV, there's no better way than to do so right in our merch store. We got hats, hoodies, t-shirts, and that amazing Rise Up Roasted Pecan Coffee. That seems to be the talk of the town. So if you want to support us over here at LFA TV, there's no better way to do so than directly in our merch store. And if you want to support us at Matter of Fact, you can go to mypillow.com/Matter. Get yourself 60 to 75% off everything star-wide. Or if you want to stack that Bitcoin, folks, I'll hook it up with some free Bitcoin. If you use my links down below, those affiliate links will get you free Bitcoin based off the amount that you deposit the first time. And that's it. That's all I got for you guys. Let's keep it rolling, folks. Welcome back. Welcome back to Matter of Fact. Thank you for sticking with us and smashing that like button. We probably got over 1,000 people watching. If you guys could do us a huge solid and please pump that like button. I'm going to let you in on a little sneak peek. Some more exclusive footage never before seen. Here's a little interview that me and JJ did with Mark Carter down at the homeless encampments. Right behind Mark Carter are homeless American citizens sleeping on the streets. All right down the street are illegal immigrants who have housing, hotels, buses, heating and cooling buses, gourmet sandwiches, new clothes, credit cards, and everything paid for with your tax dollars while American veterans were sleeping on the streets and were so cold this winter because they couldn't get on the heating and warming buses, which were paid for with your tax dollars, that the illegal immigrants were on. The cops in Chicago were not let these American citizens on these buses, so we had veterans that were freezing out there in below zero temperatures. They had to go to the hospital and had to have their fingers and toes amputated because they weren't allowed on the buses. Here's Mark Carter, never before seen footage.
And it's going to be a bloody war, especially in this city.
Yes.
That quietly has set up these beachheads as if they bring these people in here to go to war with us. Trump is child's play compared to Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel. Cities for Action.
So they dovetail into New America. They're working hand in glove.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So all the mayors in these liberal cities are working alongside of Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel, Joe Biden to eliminate Americans.
What is New America? You think that's the goal? Is to, because when you look at their charter and you look at the name
says it all.
New Americans.
The name says it all. I mean, what more do we need to hear? It's good to call for uprising against this.
Yes.
We cannot afford. You haven't seen crime.
No.
You haven't seen murder. Most of what you see happening in Chicago's politicians want to paint it as gang problems. This is not a gang problem. There are no gangs in Chicago any longer. This is where they've starved the people into savagery. They've starved the people into having to go to the streets to find any way to survive. So from robbing people to stealing, you know, this is what the poor people resort to because of the Democrat Party.
Yes, it is all Democrat.
Trump
policies.
Is child's play compared to Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel, the Black Caucus in this city. Mm-hmm. They are the racists.
Yes.
And as long as Trump doesn't have people like us who can give the real story, then they'll continue to use the media to paint him in a way that culturally will make Black Americans run away from him. But yeah. Really, in actuality, the person they should be fighting is Joe Biden.
Yes.
This is a fact.
We're down in Southside. I'm saying about one in four, one in every five mm-hmm. buildings, mm-hmm. home, residents, businesses, shuttered.
Vacant.
The other four out of mm-hmm. those five or three out of four mm-hmm. are dilapidated to the yes. point that I would never live in them. The average American, you would say, okay, you're going to pay, you'd be like,
look,
are you kidding me?
Barack Obama commissioned 47, it was 47 of 50 mayors, right? By 2018, 200 mayors and county executives that jump on board. Now, that's just Cities for Action. Google sanctuary cities, counties, and states.
They're all over.
What are they?
You know, when you look at sanctuary cities, counties, and states, this is the entire country.
Yes.
That quietly has set up these beachheads as if they bring these people in here to go to war with us.
What
and take over the city.
What does the sanctuary city mean? They take any...
They protect them if they break the law. I mean, just more so than anything. If they break the law, nothing is going to be done. Like you see what's happening in New York, where they can assault a police officer and walk right out of the police station.
What if that's American did that?
Oh, man, we'd go straight to prison. I mean, we've gone to prison for less than that. Way less than that. As American.
You said something that I've heard for my 3 days here. War.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
We're in a war.
Oh, man, and it's going to be a bloody war, especially in this city.
Especially in this city. Do you guys see what's happening here? The Democrat Party is literally trying to force us into a civil war. And Alex Jones, I don't have time to grab the clip, but Alex Jones did a great take on that, guys. And don't forget, LFA TV is going to be covering the Trump event tonight, folks. So come join us over here on LFA TV. I believe Jeremy didn't drop me a time yet that I'm seeing, but I assume it's probably going to be around 6, 7, 8. What time are we covering that at, Jeremy? So I know to tell everybody to come over here. I want to slide in one more clip from Latasha Fields. She's an amazing activist, mother, homeschooler. If you guys would like to interview her, please contact her on Twitter. I told her I was going to be sharing her her Twitter. So anybody that wants to interview her, she has an amazing story, and more people need to hear women like this speak. Absolutely phenomenal work. Another exclusive video. Check it out.
The whole population of CPS is 323,000 and some change. Okay. 35% of that, we're looking at 113,000 and some change in terms of black students that are in CPS public school. Okay. Of that 113,000, approximately 83% are not reading on grade level.
That's astounding.
83% can't read.
So you're at 17% that's proficient.
That's only proficient. And 92% of that same 113,000, 92% are not proficient in math. And then we have a teachers union here, the CTU, that continually negotiates and advocate for foreign nationals' children. Now, the percentage of them,
why?
I mean, is what we all know. It is the replacement. It is just, it's a genocide. It's really a genocide on black people. It is to completely annihilate us, completely wipe us out. And it's
why
another form of slavery.
You? I like this. Just stop. Why do you think they want to wipe you out? Because I've heard, before you start, I've heard genocide from wealthy white people here, businessmen, gang members, people that have no education, like baseline education, and very articulate people within now the Republican Party here using the same terminology. That's rare. Like, so it's rare to hear social economic divisions in a group of people, but the terms you are all using are the same. So why do you think it's a genocide?
I mean, it's been a genocide since the foundation of this country. So the whole pandemic and the agenda to genocide the African, the black man, for the sake of time, it's really spiritual, okay? It's really a spiritual genocide. And so it's not anything new, as the word of God says, ain't nothing new under the sun.
Right.
You know, the enemy would desire to literally exterminate us. Okay, so you have Margaret Sanger, you have the Planned Parenthood, you have so many agendas that have been working to destroy us. And if this oppressive demon, this demon of genocide, of extermination would have had its way, we'd have been destroyed in slavery, or would have remained perpetual slaves. See, perpetual slavery is a form of destruction as well. Mm-hmm. So because they cannot, or they did not get, or it, that demon did not get its way in causing us to be perpetual slaves, these are just more attacks that have been set out for our own demise and destruction. So it is a form of genocide. And the more they can destroy us, see, for them, the less is better. So they don't want to, even though we use genocide and exterminate, they want to keep a few of us around. But the more they can kill, literally kill, the more they can destroy is better. That's why they're not stopping crime. They're not doing anything to stop anything. They want us to self-kill ourselves. It's homicide. They want us to kill ourselves. This thing is so spiritual. They want us to destroy ourselves. So all these things, the whole social economics, engineer enslavement. That's what these social policies are. It's just engineered enslavement. It's for us to self-destroy, self-destruct.
But when you lay it out in those terms.
Folks, that is just a sneak peek of what you'll get on our documentary, This is Treason. You can pre-order and support our work and get early access to all of these interviews and much more at thisistreason.com. And that is all the time we have today for you guys over here on LFATV. If you do pre-order, bear with me. We're working out through some bugs in the website. So if you guys can't get it logged in and get whatever, we're going to get it fixed. We're just still beta testing. So I apologize if there are any issues on the website, but we'll have them fixed up by this weekend. God bless each and every one of you guys. Thank you for tuning in over here on LFATV. This is Matter of Fact, and we have a stacked lineup of shows all day on here on LFATV from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Up next is the NFSC, followed by a stacked lineup of amazing hosts. I got to run and pick my little man up from school. Hopefully you guys have a fantastic day. God bless each and every one of you. My name is Ryan Matta. We'll catch you in the next one. Thank you for smashing that like button on the way out. Peace. And gosh dang it, I always forget to do that. There it is.
Run.
We'll be right back.